अनुमात्रेपि वै धर्म्ये जायमाने विपश्चितः असंगता सदा नास्ति किमुतावरणच्युतिः See, avipaschitaha. Avipaschit means the one who is indiscriminate. The indiscriminate person is called avipaschit. The vipaschit is the discriminate. See, there is water appearing in him of waves and ocean, which is also experienced. Therefore, it is easy for us to take it for two, isn't it? So, avipaschit means he sees the plurality and duality. The vipaschit means, but still he knows what is there is only satyam. He is vipaschit. The one who has the discriminative knowledge of satyam and mithya. Water is to satyam, waves and oceans are mithya, the only appearance of the satyam. It is called what now? Discriminative knowledge. One who has the satyam mithya discriminative knowledge is called a vipaschit, the discriminate person. Avipaschit is the one who does not have this discriminative knowledge. Who is the one who does not have the discriminative knowledge? One who does not know what the truth is. Therefore, one who mistakes the mithya for satyam is the indiscriminate person, is called avipaschit, for whom duality is reality, for whom the truth is unknown. Therefore, the non-truth, the mithya, is satyam for him. Indiscriminate person is called avipaschit. For avipaschit, he says, anumatrepi vaidharmye jayamane. Definitely for him, vaidharmya means difference, duality. Vaidharmya means duality. This difference is very real. For whom? For the avipaschit. For the indiscriminate person, the duality is very much there. And what does the Shastram say? Even if slightest of the duality is accepted, even little of duality is there, anumatre api vaidharmye jayamane, isn't it? Then asangata nasti. This, no, the asangata nasti means what? It is not possible for him to recognize the relationlessness being the swarupma of the atma. That atma itself is not there. Where is the question of seeing oneself being free from all connections, associations? Isn't it? One cannot see oneself being unassociated with the objects. Really, the sense of possession, the possessiveness, the sense, it is not easy for him to get rid of. Even if it is lightest of the duality is real for a person, then it results in great fear. That's why in Taittiriya Upanishad, we saw this. Dvitiyadhi bhayam bhavati. The fear is because of seeing the duality as the reality is the cause of our fear. And not only that, then you all the limitations also become real for you. Then I am a mortal is not a notion for you, it's a fact for you, it's a reality for you. Then naturally there will be fear. Isn't it? So anumatri. Now, in Brihadaranyaka it is said what? Dvitiyadvai bhayam bhavati. Dvitiyadhi bhayam bhavati, dvitiyadvai bhayam bhavati. All the Upanishads say this what? That there will be a phenomenon called fear obtaining in him of a thought in any mind, it cannot be resolved until and unless you assimilate this fact of the duality being the mithya through the vision of the non-duality of the reality. Okay, when will the fear be resolved for good. I tell you one thing, no thought can be destroyed. Mind can never be destroyed. You can manage initially by living a life of dharma, but managing is also not an easy job, okay? Strenuous job. That is why managing people, managing means always handling. Difficult, strenuous, stressful. That is why people go to the extent of destroying also. How long can I manage? Let me put Thukid. They say all these things now. In fact, destructive mind is something which can never be destroyed. When you say mind cannot be destroyed, you cannot destroy the thoughts. Thoughts cannot, need not be destroyed, cannot be destroyed. Which thoughts? Jealousy, hatred, anger. But what about the fear? I tell you, fear is a phenomenon which alone results in the form of, later on, the fear alone gives rise to what? The anxiety, the sense of insecurity. All is because of what? The phenomenon called fear. Where is fear? It's just a thought. And can you undo the thought? When you fall asleep, the fear also goes, becomes resolved. When you wake up, along with the fear also rises. You fall asleep, the jagat goes, duality goes, fear also rises. That is why you always want to sleep. No fear. So great rest. When you wake up, along with your fear also comes. When the fear is there, and even when you are so busy, preoccupied with so many other things, the fear is there, but is forgotten. When you forget the fear, keeping yourself so busy, preoccupied and occupied, then there's no problem. But when you're alone at home, that is what insecurity. You can't stand loneliness. Alone at home, nobody's around, nothing much to do. That's why you have to be keep yourself very busy doing something. If you're alone, then okay. Sometimes you don't interest in doing things. Nothing much to do. You feel lonely, you feel insecure, you feel some sort of fear comes. Even loneliness, insecurity, anxiety, and all other problems, with all basis is what now? Fear. It's a phenomenon, cannot be destroyed. But Shastram says, this fear will never be resolved. The fear is a phenomenon which will resolve by itself. You cannot undo the fear, but the fear will resolve by itself. When you understand this fact, not simply understanding clearly, doubtlessly, when you assimilate this fact, understand, analyze, assimilate, have this fact assimilated, then you have to search for the fear. Fear will just resolve. What is that fact? The whole jagat which I am seeing, experiencing is mithya. My body is mithya, this mind is mithya, body is mithya, sense organs, all enjoyment, the experiences, the transactions, the whole jagat, everything is mithya. The duality is mithya, plurality is mithya, everything here is mithya. Okay? The duality is mithya, not everything here is mithya, duality is mithya. I am different from the world, world is different from me, there's Bhagavan sitting who is different from both of us, both me and the jagat. That is what now? This divisions is mithya. Okay, this duality, divisions, differences being mithya should become very clear. Only then fear will resolve. Vaidharme anumatrepi jayamane, even little of difference is there, duality is there, there will be fear. Okay, but how can you resolve the duality? For the fear to be resolved, it cannot be killed, destroyed. It has to be resolved. It can be resolved only when the perception of duality, the duality, you can't avoid the perception of duality. Duality will be always perceived. In perception, duality cannot be avoided. But perceive the duality, but know clearly duality which I am perceiving is mithya. Okay, it's not satyam. This understanding the duality being mithya is possible only if you understand what is the substratum, what is the satyam, without which there cannot be this duality. Isn't it? That non-duality, oneness, the second list of the reality, when it is clear, then the duality being mithya will be clear. If the duality being mithya is clear, fear will resolve. Otherwise, even the slightest little of duality is real for you, differences are real for you, there will be fear. It is no, don't need to blame the lizard or a snake or for, you know, some anything. So many things can frighten us in the world. So many things can frighten. So many things can make you feel insecure. Isn't it? A neighbor who comes, who can sing well, comes and I feel insecure. Oh my God, I was the best singer in Bhajan's teaching here. Another teacher has come on. Even that makes you a little disturbed. A slightest of the disturbance, insecurity, there won't be insecurity at all. You can bless everybody, wish everybody well. You can feel, see, look at everything as vibhuti if there's no fear here. That fear can be resolved only when you understand the duality being mithya, for which you need only, what is that? Vision of the non-duality of the reality. Isn't it? What is the truth? That is why it's so important here. Once the fear is can be resolved only then. Otherwise, there'll be fear. Even the slightest of the duality will result in fear means. What about, for us, duality is not very little. For us, duality is as big as this jagat. Understand? That is why he says, Vaidharmye anumatrepi jayamane. Even anumatrepi jayamane, avi for whom? Not for the vipaschit, avipaschitaha. For him, asangata sada nasti. Isn't it? That it is not possible for him to see the fact of relationlessness being the fact, truth being the nature of one's own self, and then any relationship also is mithya. Relationship, the sambandha being mithya should be very clear. Otherwise, if it is, because sambandha, relationships are mistaken to be, you can have relationships, you have to live, you have to have relationships. I'm not saying you should not have. But relationships, associations, contacts, sambandha, because there's no life without that. But you have to have, but understand this is all mithya, which means we won't be dependent on this mithya relationship for our permanent happiness. Have relationship, have contacts, live together, be together, enjoy the life, but don't be dependent on associations, contacts, relationships for happiness and security. That is when we enjoy relationships and contacts, associations, nice. That does not mean you should go and then close your eyes and then go, don't see anybody, don't talk to anybody, don't live. That's the sick mind. So being alone also, in remaining alone without association, contacts also, there is no happiness. There is no fearlessness. In being alone, in being lonely, there is more fear. In being with friends, there's relatively no fear. There's still absolute fearlessness is not there. Whether you are with people, without people. Whether you have associations, you don't have associations. Whether you have contacts, no contacts. Relationships, no relationships. Everywhere, there's no fearlessness. Absolute fearlessness is not there in having or in not having relationships, associations and contacts and in being together. Okay, fearlessness is there only in knowing the truth that one's own sorupam is of the nature of relationlessness. Only in knowing the truth of oneself, one's own sorupam, and understanding the fact of the reality being non-dual, and thereby seeing the duality being mithya, the fear will, utter fearlessness is possible. Okay? Fearlessness is only in the vision of the truth, thereby in understanding the duality which cannot be avoided in perception, but still you have to see what? Duality which I am perceiving, I am experiencing, but still it is mithya. It is not satyam. That jnana is what? Seeing more than what your eyes see. Understand? This is called vision. Seeing more than what my eyes see. This is vision. This is what? This is where fearlessness. Understood? That otherwise there will be fear. You can't help. And then, not only fear, and relationships all become what? That understanding of relationlessness being the onsvarupam may not be clear. Asangata nasti. Asangata is not, that is not clear. Then what happens? We will become dependent upon relationships. We will be enslaved by associations and relationships for our happiness and security, and for the feeling good and feeling nice and for the pleasure. We will be enslaved, the enjoyment of pleasure of being together and all that. I'm not saying should not be together, okay? Oh, Swamiji said, so therefore hereafter will all of us won't, I won't talk to anybody, not talk to anybody, don't go visit. Not like that. Be together, live together, but don't be emotionally dependent on being together and relationships and associations. Isn't it? Understanding. Where I should depend upon for what? My dependence must be only upon my own swarupam, for my fearlessness, for my happiness, for my security. But live in the world, relatively, I had to be, because not being with the world also is not fearlessness. That will cause more anxiety. That is why Bhagavan himself has given you the jagat for what? Enjoy the jagat, be with the jagat, learn from the jagat and grow out of the jagat. Grow out of desire for everything. What is jagat for? The whole jagat is given in front of us. For what? For us to enjoy, to experience. And what is the body for? For our enjoyment. What are the senses for? For our enjoyment. Isn't it? We are blessed with everything to make use of everything. Make use of the body, make use of the senses, make use of the mind, enjoy everything and learn through while enjoying and grow out of the enjoying the things. If we don't, we want to enjoy, we don't want to grow out, means what? Enjoy, you're allowed to enjoy, to grow, to learn. If you don't learn, the life is a waste. The life becomes a waste only if you do not learn when you are enjoying the world, experiencing the world. Understand? Life is for what now? For enjoyment. Enjoyment is for what? Not for enjoyment. Enjoyment for its enjoyment. But what act ultimately for? Learning. Learning is for what? For your growth. Learning is for growing. Emotional growth. And growth is for what? Ultimately, to understand what should I be doing to make this life a meaningful, a complete. Understand? Therefore, what he says here is, asangata nasti. For such people, that understanding of asangata is not possible at all. Therefore, they'll be dependent. Kim uta avarana chyutihi. Avarana chyutihi means what? Avarana means ignorance. Chyutihi, avarana chyutihi means resolution of ignorance. Where is the question of resolving the ignorance? There is no way of there resolving their self-ignorance, which means they will continue to be ignorant. There's no way of resolving the ignorance. There's no way of getting rid of ignorance. There's no way of attaining jnanam. Therefore, there's no way of becoming free from bondage. Bandhanashaha nasti. So what does he want to say now? Know the truth. Know yourself. Shift your identity from the body mentions complex. Understand you are absolutely consciousness, essentially consciousness, the Thuriyam, and to see that consciousness being the only truth of the whole Jagat. There is no Jagat, there is no you outside of the awareness, the consciousness, and that consciousness the only Satyam. This knowledge has to happen, isn't it? But even after the attainment of knowledge, suppose, imagine, if you say, I am Jnani, I know now. You say, I am Jnani, still your identity is with your intellect. Aham muktaha, if you say, still identity is with the mind. These are all you can understand when, from the standpoint of ego, you can understand all of them. But when you shift the essence, when you really understand your Swarupam being free, everything, not for saying these words, for you to understand what you are, essentially, really, absolutely. Okay. So, avaranachyutihi kim uta? It is the question of resolving this ignorance for this person for whom duality, little of duality is real, means very real for him, means he can't resolve it. He can't understand, then there's no way of resolving ignorance and enjoying the benefit of knowledge also. Alabdhavarana sarve.
Sarve
dharma prakriti nirmalaha. Prakriti nirmalaha. Adau buddhastatha muktaha. Tamuktaha. Buddhyante iti nayakaha. Buddhyanta iti nayakaha. Buddhyanta iti nayakaha. Sarve dharmaha means what? All these jivas. I told you many times the jiva is implied by the term adharma here, because the existence of every individual is within the realm of the order, law and order. Every life is very significant. Nothing is outside of the order. Nothing exists outside of the order. That is why every life is significant. Every being is significant. That's why it's called, it's implied by the word dharmaha. Understand? So, sarve dharmaha, sarve jivaha, all the individual beings are essentially, what now? Prakriti nirmalaha. Prakriti here means maya. Ignorance, you can say, isn't it? Nirmala means they're free from all the limitations, blemishes, impurities of the matter. Understand? Prakriti, all the limitations, we talk about the birth, the death, the disease and growth and change and pain and pleasure, you know, sorrow, grief, lots of things, the jealousy, hatred, anger, all this, you know, that all these dharmas, the attributes, the tendencies, the nature, they belong to what? Limitations belong to the anatma, which is maya, the prakriti, the matter. But they are not there for atma, the consciousness. Therefore, prakriti nirmalaha means they're free from all the limitations of the material objects. Okay, nirmalaha. Alabdha avaranaha. Alabdha avaranaha means what? Those who are free from even ignorance. Here the beauty is, when you see from the standpoint of the ahankara, after understanding everything, you can say what? Aham jnani. Even then identity is with what? The mind. I am Aham Jnani, Aham Muktaha. If you say, still your identity is with what? Aham Jnana Nishtaha. I'm steadfast in the root, I'm vision of the truth. If you say, still identity is with the intellect and mind, isn't it? So from the standpoint of Sakshi, the consciousness, no word can be used. The word Sakshi cannot be used. Sakshi means witness. Witness is what? Relative term. The witness is consciousness, used to mean consciousness from the standpoint of the witnessed. Resolve the whole jagat, the witnessed is mithya, there is no witness, no jagat, no object means. How can you call subject? Atma is, na, even you can't use the word subject of knowledge. The knower, experiencer, illuminator, witness. Isn't it? All the terms are, no terms can be used to the standpoint of consciousness. No word can be used. Isn't it? The standpoint of consciousness, when was consciousness bound by ignorance? Is there something called ignorance at all? From the standpoint of consciousness, see, when you shift your eye sense from the body, mind's complex to consciousness cognitively, the standpoint of consciousness, if you see, consciousness alone is there, means all the jivas are consciousness, means when did the jiva get ignorance first of all? Is there something called ignorance at all? The standpoint of consciousness, there is no such thing called ignorance at all. Therefore, alabdha avaranaha. Understand? Alabdha avaranaha means the jivas are essentially being consciousness ever free from ignorance. Beginninglessly, they are ever free from what? Ignorance. No jiva essentially had ignorance. Jiva seems to have got ignorance only when it is identified with the mind. Understand? I'm telling something very subtle. Hope you're all seeing this, what I'm saying. Jiva, identified with the mind alone, seems to have got ignorance. Because ignorance is the manodharma. Ignorance belongs to what? The mind, isn't it? Consciousness, when did consciousness get ignorance? No, alabdha avaranaha. Essentially, all the jivas are ever free from ignorance. They never consciousness never became ignorant. The jiva never became ignorant. Jiva was never ignorant. Is it clear? Suppose part space has become small. Take the example. Part space has become small. When did the part space become small? Part is small. Part, the space identified with the part takes the smallness of the smallness dharma of the part as its, okay, superimposed upon the jiva, part space. Therefore, there's no part space has not become small. Part space, there's no part space at all. Part space was never small. Always it is limitless space. Similarly, the ignorance is a thought vritti, which is the mind. Understand? The consciousness manifest in the mind, identified with the mind alone, seems to have become ignorant. Really, consciousness never became ignorant. The jiva is not ignorant. The ignorance was superimposed upon the jivas. I am ignorant when you say, I am consciousness, if you say, I am consciousness means free from ignorance. I am ignorant means identity is with the, not with the consciousness, but with the thought, with the mind, then you are ignorant. So notionally you are ignorant. Essentially you are ever free from ignorance. Is it clear now? Erroneous notion, but that's also. Anyway, you never became ignorant. So alabdha avaranaha means the ji sarve dharmaha never had ignorance. Who had ignorance? Mind. Who becomes later on enlightened? Mind. You never became ignorant. You are not going to become enlightened also. You are free from both jnanam and ajnanam. Irul velirendukkum oridam enna. You have to remember that. Okay? Jnanam, ajnanam for both. The substratum is awareness. It is free from both jnanam and ajnanam. So, alabdha avaranaha. Very beautiful, subtle verses. I wish I had more time. Anyway. Alabdha avaranaha sarve dharmaha prakriti nirmalaha. Therefore, the ignorance belongs to what? Ignorance itself is prakriti, isn't it? Prakriti, though ignorance caused all problems also. Completely free from all of them belong to mind. They all, not even belong to. They are all mind, the body, they all. Consciousness is actually free. Prakriti nirmalaha, sarve dharmaha, alabdha avaranaha. Never had ignorance, therefore consciousness can never become wise also. Jivaha does not become wise, does not become knowledgeable, was ever ignorant, can never become wise. Because Jivaha is pure knowledge. The source of, the substratum of both knowledge and ignorance. Isn't it? The pure knowledge, the source of knowledge and ignorance. Okay. Then, Adho Buddhaha. If they're ever free from ignorance means they never become knowledgeable, which means Adho Buddhaha means what? They are ever essentially pure knowledge. All the jivas are ever what now? Pure knowledge. Adho Buddhaha. Adho Buddha means ever evident. We understand. Every jiva is ever evident, never ignorant. Every jiva is essentially ever free from ignorance, ever evident. Every jiva is essentially ever free from ignorance, ever evident means what? Ever known. Already it has the knowledge. I'm asking you to ask me the question. Do you know, do you know that you are a conscious being or not?
Yes.
Do you know? When did you start knowing it? When did this knowledge begin? I did not know I was a conscious being. Only some time I learned that I am a conscious being. If you do not know that you are a conscious being, what are you? Are you matter then? Your body will say, I am a conscious being. This knowledge, do you need somebody else? Does somebody else need to tell you? No, you are not inert. You are a conscious being. Does somebody else need to tell you? Thank God. This is what being ever evident. Understand? I am a conscious being is already known to you. This knowledge does not come to you newly. Isn't it true or not? Adho Buddhaha. I am a conscious being is so well known. You never say I am not a conscious being. You cannot say, isn't it? We never think about it, but you know very well you are a conscious being. You don't even need to tell every time I'm a conscious being. You don't need to tell, you don't need to remember. Why? Because it is ever evident, assumative fact for you. I'm a conscious being. But then how come that then problem? Why samsara then? The samsara is you mistake, you know you are a conscious being, but still you mistake the matter's problems as yours. Superimposition. The problem is because of the superimposition of anatmas, the dharmas upon yourself. That is the problem. You know you are a conscious being. That is why this is a different way of telling you. Okay? Adi Buddhaha. I know I am a conscious being, but still why I think I am small, I am fat, I am big, and then I am sick, and then I am unhappy, I am sad, and all, I am hungry, I am angry. Why do I say all these things then? I know I am a conscious being, but I also say what I am sad, I am upset, I am angry. I am fat, I am ugly, I am good looking. All these problems, why do I have? Because all these belong to what? Ignorance. Nah, isn't it? All these dharmas, the attributes of the anatma, our body mind's complex, are superimposed upon myself. Is it clear now? Because of the close proximity, inseparability. For what we say here, that is what Adi Buddhaha. Essentially, all the jivas are essentially what? Knowledgeable. Essentially ever-evident, ever-evident, ever-free from ignorance. The consciousness never, jiva never became ignorant. Okay, the ignorance which is the dharma of the mind is superimposed upon the atma. Therefore, the expression is what? I am ignorant. You never became ignorant, you never become free. You are ever Buddhaha, ever-evident. Adho Buddhaha. Therefore, Tatha Muktaha. Therefore, when did Jiva become bound? No. Again, bondage is what? Bondage is again state of mind. Mind, Manodharma. It is attribute of the mind. The notion that I am bound. That is superimposed upon the Atma. Bondage is in the mind, ignorance is in the mind, knowledge happens later on in the mind. Understand now? Therefore, this consciousness is ever evident consciousness, is ever free from ignorance, ever free consciousness, never became bound. So jivas were never bound, they do not become free also. Therefore, this attainment of knowledge, I am ignorant, I am studying Shastram, attending classes, and attending knowledge, becoming free, is all what? Jiva, ego. Sorry, ego's job, okay? Not the consciousness. What is ego? I sense identified with the body, mind, and complex. The jiva has this, not jiva, the ego. We are separating now. The ego's problems are taken to be the problem of one's own self. Ahankara's problems are not the aham's problems. Is it clear now? Therefore, ever free. See, you are seeing completely different. You are seeing from the standpoint of the very consciousness, jiva surupam. The tatha mukta, ever free, buddhyante. Iti nayakaha buddhyante. Who understand this fact? Jivas are essentially consciousness. Jivas are ever free from ignorance. Jivas can never become ignorant. They were never ignorant. They were never ever attain moksha. Understand? This is, who understand this? Nayakaha. The people, after the attainment of the knowledge of the truth, after taking ownership of consciousness as I, Swarupam of the I, after shifting through Shravanam and Nididhyasanam, clearly shifting the I sense from body, mind, it's complex, resolving it in consciousness, very clear, I the self am consciousness. the souls are very clear. I am endowed, I am a conscious being, temporarily, relatively, incidentally endowed with body, mind, complex, having human experience. Okay? Those wise people are Nayakaha. Nayaka means what? The one who is not led by other person in buddhi or mind or body, one who leads everything, one who sees himself to be the exalted of, one who sees one's real swarupam. He is a Nayaka. There is no leader otherwise. Okay? When you see your real self, but no, you are the leader. There is no leader for you. Hachap person is called Nayaka, the wise person. The wise people are Nayakaha. Those who have the clear vision of the self being consciousness, such people, for them, they understand, my God, I was never bound at all. I was never bound. I was never ignorant. I was ever knowledgeable. Understand? I was ever free. I never attained moksha also. I don't attain moksha also. Understand? So, to understand that you need not attain moksha, you are ever free, you are already free. To know that, you have to study Shastra. Shastra study is not for attaining freedom. Shastra is not for attaining the freedom. Shastra study is for understanding the fact that you are already free. You have to work so hard. For what? To know you need not work hard at all. Work very hard. Shastra, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, and everything. Work hard. Live life, karma, yoga. All that hard work is ultimately to know you need not work hard at all. Okay. Kramate nahi buddhasya.
Kramate nahi buddhasya.
Jnanam dharmeshu tahinaha.
Jnanam dharmeshu tahinaha.
Sarve dharmastatha jnanam.
Sarve dharmastatha jnanam.
Naitad buddhena bhashitam.
Naitad buddhena bhashitam.
Kramate nahi buddhasya.
Kramate nahi buddhasya.
Jnanam dharmeshu tahinaha.
Jnanam dharmeshu tahinaha.
See, buddhasya. Buddhasya means for a wise person. Okay, buddhaha here means any wise person is called buddhaha. Because buddhaha, buddhaha means immediately with all of us think of Gautama Buddha. So not that, buddhaha is a past passive participle of the root buddha. Therefore buddhaha means what? Adjective here, the wise person. One who has recognized the truth of the whole impaired by the term Brahman as one's own swarupam, in one's own mind, as one's own real essential nature. Thereby one who understands that same reality is the truth of everything here, all the beings here. That person, the subtlest vision, the man of subtlest vision, thereby the person of the widest vision. What the widest vision? My God, one, he cannot see a second thing other than the consciousness as the reality of the every being here. Such a person is called what? Buddhaha. See, buddhasya, for a Buddha, jnanam na kramate. Dharmeshu jnanam. For a wise person, the essential nature of all the jivas also is what? Or not, a person who knows aham chaitanyam, turiyam chaitanyam, no? For whom it's very clear, he knows for him, the essential nature of all the beings also what? Or the truth of every eye obtaining in every mind is also what? The consciousness. For sarvasya, sarveshu dharmeshu, Jnanam. For a Buddha, for a wise person, Jnan, not only one's own self is Jnanam, consciousness. For him, all the beings are essentially consciousness. Turiyam. Jnanam sarveshu dharmeshu jnanam. And this knowledge, nakramate, for him, all the beings are essentially consciousness, Brahma. Therefore, this is what now nakramate means. This consciousness does not contact, does not come in contact with anything else, cannot come in contact with any other object. Why? Because the standpoint of consciousness, there is no object at all. From the standpoint of water, is there a wave? Is there a wave? Similarly, from the standpoint of consciousness, there is no object. In fact, hereafter you should be able to see along with what I'm saying. See what I'm seeing. Understand? From the standpoint of water, there's no wave. Similarly, from the standpoint of consciousness, there's no object here. Understand? Therefore, this does not come in contact with any object. Can the water also come in contact with the wave? For one thing to come in contact with the other, there must be two. There must be two independent things. Then one can come in contact with the other. One body, one person can visit the other person when they were when the bodies are two, independent. When the two things which are independent of each other, then one can come in contact with the other. There are not two things here. There are two parallel realities. Nothing in the world has independent existence. Therefore, it's only mithya. Therefore, there is only one satyam. Isn't it? Therefore, the coming in contact with the other thing is not possible. The sambandha is not possible. Relation, contact, association is not possible at all, because there are not two parallel realities. The mithya is appearance of the satyam alone. Okay, one thing. Second thing is all pervasive. Tayi means all pervasive. Yena sarvam tatam tatu tayi. That by which everything has been pervaded in and through is what? Tayi. Tayi means that which is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Anittayam vyapi, sarva vyapi. Vyapi is another word for tayi. Understand? Tayinaha means sarva vyapinaha. For the all pervasive reality, the consciousness, the turiya chaitanyam, the atma, is tayinaha, dharmasya, buddhasya tayinaha. For the wise person, for whom the self is all pervasive reality, the consciousness, for him, the jnanam, dharmeshu na kramate. Knowledge, the consciousness does not come in contact with any other object, because there is no object at all. Because consciousness does not move, does not act. Why? It is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Now all pervasive reality cannot move. It must be absent in one place. It can move from one place to another place. All pervasiveness means, how can it go? Move. Why it cannot move? All pervasiveness. Because of the sarva gatatvata achalatvam. Okay, immobility, it is thanuhu. It's also unmoving. We studied in second chapter Gita. So here, sarvasya tayinaha, for him, buddhasya tayinaha dharmesh jnanam na kramate. For him, in his understanding, in his vision, very clear, consciousness does not move, does not contact. Why? Because it is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Is it clear? See, I'm here, Mike is here, then I can touch this, isn't it? All pervasive consciousness, how can it move and touch this? Contact it. Is it clear? Nakramate. Kim nakramate? Jnanam. Turiyam, the consciousness, does not touch. What is this jnanam? Which jnanam? Consciousness, which is the truth of truth for the Buddha, for the wise person, for his own self. And which for whom? Whose self is all pervasive. Therefore, sarve dharmaha tatha jnanam. Therefore, all the jivas are essentially what? One secondless, non-dual reality, turiyam, the consciousness, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, and which not only I cannot associate, you, he, she, it, whoever it is, sarve dharmaha, essentially being only reality, the consciousness, there is no such a thing called contacting, coming in association with, illumining, knowing, moving, etc. on the part of consciousness. So what is the answer now? All that is here is only consciousness, appearance of consciousness. This is the Buddhasya, which means there is no object. When you say consciousness does not associate with anything, come in contact with anything else, means there is no object of consciousness. Is it clear? Step one. There is no object of consciousness, means there is no jagat. There is no jagat. There is no jagat means what? There is only Brahma. There is no jagat means don't say there is nothing. Oh, big difference. There is no jagat means what is there then? There is only Brahma. If you say there is no jagat and there is nothing, if you say, it is Buddhasya Bhashitam. It is Buddha's words. So he says, no, Shankara, the Gaudapada Acharya quickly runs, jumps and tells you, here what? Please don't take mistake Nadvaiti for a Prachanna, no? Gupta, Pachanha, you can say, don't mistake an Advaiti for a pseudo-Buddhist. Because the whole Jagat, he also says, a Buddhist also says what? There is no universe. It's only a projection of the mind. There is no universe. There is nothing. There is nothing. Who says this? Bauddha. Na Bauddhasya Bhashitam. He wants to differentiate Shankara, a vision of non-duality, vision of the Shastram from a Buddhist view. Understand? Buddhasya na bhashitam. Don't think when Buddha also says what? There is no universe. It's only projection of the mind. There is no universe. Advaiti also says what? There is no universe. Advaiti says, when an Advaiti says there is no universe, what does he say? There is only Brahma. All that is here is only Brahma, he says immediately. Buddha says what? There's no jagat, there's nothing. Look at the vast difference. Many people mistake Adishankar Bhagavatpada also for a pseudo-Buddhist. You're students of Mandukya Upanishad, so be careful. You can't afford to have that doubt and confusion. I'll be very clear. What is that? For us, all that is here is Brahma. That we don't say nothing is here. There's only Brahman is here. There's only Turiyam Chaitanyam is here. There's no I, there's no this. Relatively duality. Absolutely, there's only Brahma. What does Buddha say? There's no Jagat. What Advaiti say? There's no Jagat. There's no Jagat means, and what is then? For him, nothing. What do we say? Brahma. That's why he says what? Na Buddhena Bhashitam. Na Buddhena, na etat Buddhena Bhashitam. When I say there is no object of consciousness, see, consciousness does not come in contact with anything else means there is no object of knowledge. Understand? There is no object of knowledge. There is no object of knowledge means what? There is no Jagat. Hope you are understanding. There's no Jagat means what? There's only consciousness. The Jagat is appearance of consciousness. There's no subject, there's no object, there's only consciousness appearing in the form of Jagat. Is it clear? But what does Buddha say? There is no jagat. Yetad na buddhena bhashitam. If any say there is no jagat, please don't mistake it for Buddha's teaching here. I say there is only Brahman is there, only Paramatma is there. He wanted to differentiate the Vedantic vision from Buddhistic view. Therefore, he says what? Na buddhena bhashitam. Okay. Let's go to the last one.
Durdarshamati gambhiram.
Ajam samyam visharadam.
Buddhva padamananatvam.
Namaskurmo yathabalam.
Durdarshamati gambhiram.
Ajam samyam visharadam.
Buddhva padamananatvam.
Namaskurmo yathabalam. Okay, the beautiful verse. See, padam means what? Here, the absolute reality which has to be attained in terms of knowledge ultimately. What is to be attained is padam, that which is to be attained. How can you attain the reality? We can never attain the reality, but we have to attain the reality through knowledge. So, attainment of the absolute reality in terms of knowledge or through knowledge is called what? Padam. The reality, padam. Durdarsham, what is that reality? No, durdarsham. Durdarsham means reality being not an object. It is ever imperceptible, unobjectifiable, imperceptible, therefore abstract, subtlest reality. Durdarsham. Durdarsham means what? Difficult means what? Not difficult, ever imperceptible. It's unobjectifiable, imperceptible reality. Therefore, Durdarsham. And it's available. It is not even a subject, it is available for recognition as one's own swarupam. Therefore, Durdarsham. Ati Gambhiram means what here? The Turiyam is subtlest, most abstract. There is nothing which is subtler than consciousness. See, mind is subtler than the body. Understand? But mind is, consciousness is subtler than the mind. There is nothing subtler than consciousness. Consciousness is the subtlest, most abstract. That is why it is unobjectifiable, imperceptible, indescribable, non-reachable, understand? Unattainable. It has to be attained only in terms of knowledge. You say, ati gambhiram. Then this ajam. Ajam, you know very well, timeless. Ajam means what? Unborn, birthless, beginningless, causeless. Beginningless means what? Causeless. Therefore what? Independent, changeless, eternal, timeless reality. Samyam. Samyam means that which is uniform. In all the forms, it is uniformly all-pervasive. Like, in which wave there is no H2O? In which drop, in which wave, which ripple, water is not there? In which part of the ocean, water is not there? Like that, the whole, here is what? All the beings are in and through, outer, no? pervaded by consciousness, Samyam, uniform. Visharadam, pure. Pure means what? Absolutely pure, untainted by blemishes and sins and limitations. Okay? Absolutely pure. I already told you, Visharadam, non-refinably, unpollutably pure. And this is adjective for this verse revealing the Swarupam of the Turiyam Chaitanyam. What is Turiyam? The Turiyam which you have distinguished in the very first chapter, you have distinguished from Vishwaha, Taijasaha, Pragyaha, and which is the substratum for Virat, Hiranyagarbha and Ishwaraha also. And the truth of the knower and the known, experiencer and the experienced, obtaining in all three states of experience, is one and the only consciousness, Turiyam, which is implied by the term Turiyam, which is not Turiyam also. Is consciousness the fourth? No. Consciousness, you use the term fourth only when you distinguish it from the three. Three which what? The experiencer obtaining in waking, dream and deep sleep state. The standpoint of consciousness, you can't even use the term Turiyam, okay? The Turiyam, which is not the Turiyam actually. The consciousness, which is not the Turiyam, but implied by the word Turiyam, that Turiyam is what? Durdarsham, Atigambhiram, Ajam, Samyam. Isn't Samyam? Visharadam. Why Visharadam? Consciousness is free from ignorance. Ignorant bond, all problems. Okay, no bondage. Therefore, Vishar, ever pure. That consciousness is what? Ananatvam, ananatvam, non-plural. Consciousness, Churim is what? Non-plural. Which seems to be plural, which appears to be plural, is actually non-plural. Water which appears to be plural waves, plurality of the waves, actually, essentially non-plural, ananatvam, ananatvam. That non-plural means what? Indivisible, partless, whole, the consciousness, Turiyam, that padam, buddhva. Buddhva means what? Not richva. No, not reaching. Why not reaching? Bhagavan, Shastram does not say reach the consciousness, attain the consciousness, attain the Lord, feet of the Lord. No. No. Not kritva. Doing something. Doing something attained is no. Because reality is never available as a result of action. That is why whether you do manasam karma, vachikam karma, kayakam karma, shirasasanam or anything, whatever karma you do, you can never arrive at reality. Reality has to be arrived at only through jnanam. Know the reality. I want to meditate and attain jnanam. No. Attain the reality. No. Which means buddhva. The word, that indeclinable participle is very important. Buddhva. Having recognized. Having understood. Having known that reality. Where? No, having known means not as an object. But not even as a subject, but as the very swarupam of the subject, the knower. How you use the term illuminator and you say what? The illuminator is light means you are resolving the illuminator status in the light. Similarly, I the knower am consciousness means you resolve the knower status in consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is the very swarupam of the subject. Buddhva, having recognized the all pervasive, timeless, changeless, unborn, the uniform, all only reality, the most abstract reality, thing which is not available for perception at all, which is not available for objectification, that reality having recognized as one's own swarupam, as one's own self. When you say not object, when as one's own truth, as one's own self, having buddhva, having known, recognized, buddhva, yatha balam namaskurmaha. Namaskurmaha means what? May we bow to that reality. Here the question might come. If we say we bow to the reality, means who is the one who is bowing to? Who is the one who is bowed to? Duality comes, all of us want to jump and say, ah, thank God, something can hold on to. Okay, discuss now. But please understand, in the Shastram here, Namaskaraha means cognitively resolving one's I sense in consciousness, as recognizing the consciousness as one's own swarupam, thereby resolving the very individuality in totality, cognitively, intellectually, is called absolute surrender. That is called namaskaraha. Whenever we bow to each other, no, it is namaskaraha. What is absolute namaskaraha is an expression of one's surrender. Isn't it? Absolute surrender, sharanagati. The beautiful thing. What is absolute sharanagati? Absolute surrender. Surrendering the offerer. Offering the offerer, thereby putting an end to the very act of offering, the exalted form of offering, which is the Purna Ahutihi, which is the exalted form of worship, culmination of worship, where the offerer is offered to Bhagavan. Okay? The offering the offerer means, when I resolve my I did knower am consciousness, when you recognize this fact, you have cognitively, intellectually resolved the I sense, resolved the knower in consciousness. Not physically. When you say wave is water, you have cognitively resolved the waveness in consciousness. The knower status, thereby I sense, you are resolved in consciousness. I, the knower, am consciousness. Turiyam. This cognitively resolving one's identity with consciousness, the Paramatma, the absolute, all-pervasive reality Paramatma is what? Jiva Brahma Aikyam. Jiva Ishvara Aikyam is not physical, it is cognitive. When is the part space away from the total space? When was it divided? No. Part space is always the space. Only temporarily it got the name because of the part enclosure, temporarily arrayed part. Similarly, when are you jiva? I the knower, the jiva, am consciousness, Paramatma. This understanding is what? Is cognitive appreciation of the fact of oneself already being consciousness, the Paramatma, the all-pervasive, only, secondless, non-dual reality, is called what? Absolute surrender, sharanagati. Why? You have offered yourself to Paramatma. This is what? Absolutely offering oneself to Paramatma, not physically, cognitively. Because otherwise Paramatma does not want this dirty body, okay? I offer myself to you. You can never offer anything. It's only cognitive offering, not physical offering. This is absolute sharanagati. Isn't it? And this is what is revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. I told you many times before, Mahabalihi. Mahabalihi means what? Balihi means offering. The exalted form of offering, the exalted, this is the offering is what? Worship. The act of offering is worship. The symbolic act of offering is worship. And here, in this is a worship. This is a yajna. This is the greatest yajna. In this yajna, what is the fire here? Into the fire of consciousness. What is the oblation, yahuti here? Oblation, I sense. Who is offering? Okay, I offer myself to Bhagavan. I don't jump into the fire here physically, but cognitively I offer the offerer. I don't offer here. The offerer is cognitively offered into the fire of consciousness. The offerer has been offered means who is there to offer anymore? Therefore, offering comes to an end. That's called Purnahuti. Yaya Ahutya. You know, Purna Ahutihi. The offering becomes complete. Purna Bhavati. Sa Ahutihi. Purnahutihi. Afterwards, that is the culmination of worship. That is the culmination of worship is what? Recognition of one's own Sarupam being, non-dual, secondless, all-pervasive, only reality, the consciousness. All that is here is Brahma. This is what? Namaskara. Namaskara means, not physical here, Namaskurmaha means what? Let us offer ourselves to Paramatma in terms of knowledge. We have offered ourselves to Paramatma. So what is there now? We are not here. Paramatma alone is here. This is the Abdul Sharanagati, and Mahabalihi means the greatest offering. The word Mahabali means exalted forms of the offerings. Exalted form of offering is what? Offering the offerer. And that is implied how the I symbolic, you have to show something symbolically, na? The I sense, the knowledge I am, I sense is symbolized as what? Big head. Okay? So he offers the head. And Bhagavan's feet stands for what? Consciousness. Consciousness, Brahma, Paramatma, puts his foot on the head of Mahabali. That means what? Jiva Brahma Aikyam. Which means, this is called Mahabali. Mahabali has offered his Ahankara, I sense, Naan Niye. But there is no Naan. Nida Naan. Okay, I am yourself. I am yourself. Which means what? Aham Param Brahma. That, is it clear now? That's called Mahabalihi. Then no more Bali. The offering cannot continue. The worship cannot continue. Culmination of worship. That is this absolute Sharanagati. Understand? But what is elective Sharanagati? Let me remind you, even though it's not relevant here, I want to remind you. When, for the sake of the accomplishment of jnanam, in order to manage my mind, to manage my emotions and thoughts, to become mentally pure and to be prepared for jnanam, when I commit myself to live a life of dharma, I surrender my will to Bhagavan in the form of dharma. Which means I make it a point not to go against dharma, then that is called what? Relative Sharanagati. Surrendering one's will to Bhagavan of dharma is what? Commitment to live life of dharma is relative Sharanagati, and that jnanam is absolute Sharanagati. This absolute surrender. Therefore, he says what? Namaskurmaha. Padam. How can we namaskurmaha? If you don't even know what you are, how can you offer yourself to what you are? Knowing what I am. I know I am, but I do not know what I am. When I know what I am, I have offered myself to Paramatma. So, Buddhva Namaskurmaha. Shall we know? We know. Let us recognize our Swarupam. Then in knowing our Swarupam, let us resolve identity with our Swarupam. Which is Namaskara. Okay? Say now, read the verse once, then we can stop. दुर्दर्शमतिगम्भीरम्
अजं साम्यं विशारदम्
बुद्ध्वापदमनानात्वम् नमस्कुर्मोयथाबलम्। So let us make all possible efforts to do this namaskara. What is namaskara? Jnanam. Yathabalam namaskurmaha. Understand? We offer ourselves to Paramatma in terms of knowledge to the best of our ability. Om Bhadram Karne Bhishrunuyama Devaha Bhadram Pashye Maksha Bharya Jatraha Sthirairangai Istushtu Vagam Sastanubihi Vyashema Devahi Tayyadayuhu Swastina Indro Vridhashravaha Swastina Posha Vishraveda.